Roll Tide Radio Show every Friday from 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. right here on ESPN Pensacola. You can listen to us on 1330 AM, 99.1 FM, or on our ESPN Pensacola mobile app. And, of course, this show is brought to you by Ace Hardware on Highway 29 in Cantonment. Austin Price and Woody Waters here in the studio with you, as always. And, Woody, it feels like, and Bama only has a couple losses to their name, but it feels like the past couple of shows that we've done, there's been a lot of doom and gloom and a lot of crossing fingers and hoping to get back on track. And at least for this week, it looks like Bama did just that.
Yeah, it did. Actually, they played better than I anticipated them playing against Missouri, but they finally took care of business and acted like they knew what they were doing, yeah. Basically.
34-0 over the Tigers, and Mizzou just, God bless them. I said it last week, and it sounded mean, but it was true. They're just not that good of a team, and I said that when talking about them at full health. This was not a Mizzou team at full health. They were, first of all, on the road at Tuscaloosa. That already puts them at a pretty poor disadvantage, but then they've got their quarterback issues. They've got their leading rusher, that Noel kid. He was missing. And they really, if we've said anything about Mizzou, it's the fact that they rely heavily on their rushing game, so that was a very bad loss for their offense. So to see Bama, that's why I'm really proud of them, to say, you know what, you took advantage of every advantage that you had and were able to make an example out of this team on your field and to really go into this second bye week of your season with a bang.
Yeah, they went in with a real positive note, on a positive note, I should say. And, you know, everything's looking positive right now.
Yeah. First of all, let's go over, you said positive note. So speaking of positives, let's go over what Alabama, I think, did especially well in particular. And they did things well on both offense and defense. For starters, we touched on the defense balling out for a good portion of the Tennessee game. So holding Mizzou to a goose egg, that's huge. You have to do that, especially with those aforementioned injuries we talked about. Not only that, but the passing defense was superb. When Missouri's missing their star running back, they're obviously going to pass. You only allowed 72 yards on 13 completions and 3 interceptions. Yeah. That is lockdown.
Yeah, and a lot of those good plays, those interceptions, et cetera, came from some very young backs for Alabama.
Yeah.
That are getting better as the year goes on.
Yeah, and you know, we can talk about, okay, and well, right now, Alabama's looking good with that win over Missouri, but it's always good to hear about, hey, this is what the future can look like with how some of these youngins are behaving. Also, going back to the Bama offense, I was especially impressed with the ball control. I feel like I have been Jalen Milroe's biggest hater throughout this season, but at the end of the day, it's not hate if it's true. I'm not trying to paint him out into a negative light. When I say he turned the ball over, what, 6 times in the last 4 games, that's just the truth.
Yeah.
So to see, or through like 6 picks, I think. He may have turned the ball over more than that because I know he fumbled against Vandy. So when you see that guy completely maintain his composure, not turn the ball over at all, I think he, what was it? He passed for over 200 yards. I think he rushed for 50 officially, so had a good deal of yards to his name. Passing offense was a little bit lackluster, no touchdowns on that end. But it was, or it was maybe only one. I can't even remember. Well, I've got the stats here. Why am I sitting here acting like I'm eyeballing it? Yeah, he didn't throw for any touchdowns. I think all the touchdowns came on the rushing end. But nonetheless, it was a great effort by Milroe. And congrats to him for just throwing to the guys in crimson. Don't cough up this ball. You can't afford to do that.
Yeah, throwing it to the guys in crimson as well as, you know, stick it in the gut of the running backs.
Yeah.
You know, they you know, I think they made a conservative effort to run the football, and they ran the football well.
Yeah, coming into this game, Jam Miller and Justice Haynes, I said that they would be pivotal because I know how once you cut up Missouri's rushing defense, they take a big hit. But we had talked about, man, they were on the decline, Jam and Justice both, but they put those concerns to rest. Jam Miller, he was the running back with the most touches. He had like 11 touches, got a pair of touchdowns, so good for him. But Justice Haynes, really proud of him. He averaged just under 10 yards on 8 carries. He had 79 yards. That made him the Tide's leading rusher on today, and he got into the end zone as well.
Mm-hmm. He had probably the best game of the season for him.
Yeah, and as for the passing end, as I said, it was a little bit lackluster. No big time plays being made, at least not consistently. No big shots to the end zone. But Ryan Williams and Jeremy Bernard, those are the two receivers we've talked about the most, and they combined for 135 yards on 9 catches. So they were still pivotal pieces. Now I do want to say this. Don't want to poop on the party too much, but you had made a remark last week about, hey, listen, we've got more depth at this passing game than we are letting on, especially at the tight end position. And once again, unfortunately, when you've got a lackluster passing game and you've got Jeremy and Ryan kind of taking a lot of the heat, well, those tight ends are going to be neglected, and that's what we saw last week.
Yeah. They didn't throw the tight ends a lot. Tight ends block well. They did a good job of blocking, but there were some plays in this game that they could have, you know, had some receptions if the ball had been thrown to them.
No, that's absolutely true. I think your leading tight end only had a couple catches for like 27 yards or something. So as you said, there's potential there to really, you know, I always call it nickel and diming your way down the field. You know, just quick plays here and there, just make and do. You could definitely control time of possession if you look at guys like that a bit more on a shorter passing game. Don't always have to look at the flashy 17-year-old. You don't have to do that. That's definitely a criticism that we could give. But there's another one offensively that I wanted to discuss, and that is, and this is going to become a theme later when we do the look ahead heading into the bye, Alabama is developing a nasty habit. And it's nasty in any game, but it's especially nasty in the SEC when you're playing what is supposed to be some of the best competition in America. You cannot be having slow starts in these games. You had it against Tennessee, and it resulted in a loss. Now you had it against Missouri, and luckily, as we said, Mizzou was on the road, and they were weak, and they weren't that good anyway. But, 5 minutes to go into second quarter, it was only 3-0.
Yeah. Yep. That, like you said, that has become a trend more this year than not, and that's something that Alabama needs to get out of the habit of doing. Need to start fast.
Yeah. And as I said, you know, we're of course I'll give you the warning now. We're not going to touch too much on LSU this week because Woody and I don't want to just be sitting here, you know, regurgitating everything we said today. Next week, right? We want to bring something new every week. Speaking of which, you are listening to the Roll Tide Radio Show every Friday, 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. right here on ESPN Pensacola. And as I said, Austin Price, Woody Waters here in the studio with you, but. Getting back to what I was saying, though, we'll touch more on LSU next week. But right now, one of the first things we notice about them is they are a no-nonsense team. They come out swinging. You do have to go to Death Valley. That's going to be brutal. And I'm not saying that Bama can't win that if they do have a slow start. I think it's going to be a very physical game, maybe a messy game throughout a good portion of it. But you've got to establish some sort of superiority on at least some front.
Yeah, you do. You know, and this typically is always a game that goes to the team that controls the line of scrimmage the best. And, you know, you got to win the line of scrimmage on both sides of the ball. And as we said a while ago, you can't start slow. You need to get in there and at least maintain status quo with LSU.
Yeah, that's absolutely true. Another thing that kind of concerned me about Bama, because this is just another problem that's beginning to linger more and more, the discipline, or lack thereof, I should say. It's not like Mizzou was choir children out there. I mean, they had 5 penalties for 55 yards, but Bama had 7 for 85.
Yeah.
You can't give up yardage like that.
Yeah. We've got to get better. That's been a thorn in Alabama's side all year. Now, I mean, it's getting late, 2/3 of the season's over with, and they're probably, I don't know this, I'm just saying, in my mind, they probably are near the top as far as leading the SEC in penalties per game, I would say.
I would not be surprised if they were the conference leaders, especially after that game against, I hate to keep bringing it up because it's starting to taste bitter in my mouth here, but that game against Tennessee. What did you have? 15 penalties for 115 yards?
115, 110 Way too many.
No, that is that is just ridiculous. As I said, you can't have Tennessee putting up almost a century mark in penalties, and you're somehow they're somehow outclassing you. You just can't have that. So those are things that were issues. They weren't deal breakers in this game. But the theme of, if I had to summarize this first segment here, the theme would be you can't let this win get to your head.
No. No.
And we will touch more on that in the next segment. But no, I mean, just the penalties and slow start. LSU's not going to put up with that.
Nope. I mean, LSU's pretty much in the same boat that Alabama's in. It's pretty much a playoff game or a continuation to the playoffs, I should say. For both teams, they both need this win terribly bad.
Yeah, well, and I'm glad you mentioned that, because that is something that we are definitely going to come out swinging with in our next segment, because they both have two losses, and we can touch on LSU's loss to A&M a little bit. We can look at, okay, well, it's not like their weekend was all sunshine and flowers, right? We can look at theirs and say, okay, well, this wasn't great for them either. And I'm sure that will add to the implications. This, you said, make or break game for both sides. It's already a hate-filled rivalry. Death Valley is already a terrible place to play as a visitor. So we got details on all of that and more coming up right here on Roll Tide Radio on ESPN Pensacola, 1330 AM, 99.1 FM. And, of course, brought to you by Ace Hardware on Highway 29 in Cantonment.
It's time for some football, and Ace Hardware in Cantonment is geared up with everything you'll need to make your cookout and tailgating party a win. Big Green Egg, Napoleon, and Traeger grills, tents, propane fills, Yeti coolers and tumblers, folding chairs, folding tables, and outdoor umbrellas, plus hardware items to get your patio, pool, or outside deck in winning shape. Think football, think Ace Hardware in Cantonment, and score big time. Ace Hardware, 1560 South Highway 29.
Costello's Butcher Shop and Deli, where you can meet up and wine all you want. Costello's has all your fall barbecue needs ready for pickup, from Wagyu tomahawks, Wagyu chuck steaks, to quarter pound colossal Wagyu hot dogs, briskets, pork butts, and so much more. At Costello's, you'll find all the best boarhead sandwich meats and cheeses, plus everything ready from charcuterie board to chicken salad and the best dessert pies, all at Costello's Butcher Shop, Deli Fine Wine and Cheeses. Find them today at the corner of Lillian Highway and Fairfield Drive in Pensacola.
Great game. You got into the end zone again and again. How'd it feel?
Awesome. Like getting a new iPhone again and again. I just got the new iPhone 16 Pro today.
Really?
Yeah. And with AT&T Next Up Anytime, I can upgrade early every year.
Very nice.
Feel like an MVP again. Learn how to get the new iPhone 16 Pro on us and the latest iPhone every year with AT&T Next Up Anytime. AT&T. Connecting changes everything. Offer subject to change. Additional fees, terms, and restrictions apply. $0 offer may not be available on future iPhones. Next Up Anytime feature may be discontinued at any time. See att.com/iPhone for details.
Life insurance. Why are you putting it off? Can't afford it? Too much hassle? Think you don't need it? There's lots of excuses for putting off life insurance. But if you weren't there, who would pay the mortgage and other bills? With Ethos, you could be covered in 10 minutes and boom, family protected. Ethos, fast and easy online term life insurance. Up to $2 million in coverage with no medical exam. Some policies as low as a dollar a day. Answer a few health questions and get your free quote at getethos.com. That's getethos.com.
I love playing sports, especially for my school. And that's because school sports are special. It's where it's safe to fail. It's where we're taught resilience, where our fear becomes confidence. It's where we learn to get back up after every fall. School sports are where 7.8 million students go from I can't to I can.
This message presented by the FHSAA and the Florida Interscholastic Athletic Administrators Association.
The Escambia County Healthy Start Coalition is a local nonprofit that directly serves new or pregnant moms and their babies by providing education, support, and interventions to those who are at risk of a poor birth outcome or delay in development. Our fatherhood program, Team Dad, is a free mentorship program that helps develop relationship skills, finance, and overall personal development to help fathers be the best dad they can be for their families. To learn more, visit healthystart.info.
Escambia High School, Tate High School. It's the ESPN High School Game of the Week on ESPN Pensacola. Today at 7 p.m., the 7-2 Escambia High Gators rumble with the 7-2 Tate High Aggies. Catch every pass, every play right here. ESPN.
The Rich Eisen Show on weekdays after Greeny at 11 to 2 on ESPN Pensacola, 1330 AM, 99.1 FM.
Roll Tide Radio Show every Friday from 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. right here on ESPN Pensacola. You can listen to us on 1330 a.m., 99.1 FM, or on our ESPN Pensacola mobile app. And, of course, this show is brought to you by Ace Hardware on Highway 29 in Cantonment. Austin Price and Woody Waters here in the studio with you. And, Woody, when we left off, we were just kind of given the general rundown of the state of Alabama football after that win over Mizzou. It was a great win. You won it how you should have. Especially with Mizzou being on the road and being weakened some on their offensive side. Still had some problems with the offense getting a slow start. Still had some problems with the lack of discipline. Things that LSU's probably not going to allow, especially in their neck of the woods. And that's one thing I want to touch on with LSU, because I mentioned in our last segment, we'll give the deep dive, the breakdown next week when these teams are actually fixing the play. But right now they're both about to go on bye weeks. I look at LSU, and I think I see one stark contrast between them and Alabama. LSU starts early. Alabama does not.
Right.
And yep. I know people, they can sit here all day long and say, well, Woody, it's not how you start, it's how you finish. Yes, people can absolutely say that. And that there's some truth in that. But there's also truth in the fact that how you start a game can set the tone for an entire game. We saw that against Tennessee. And luckily, Mizzou was bad enough that we didn't see it against them. But LSU, they start very quick. In each of their last two games, they have scored 10 points in the first quarter.
Yeah, they do start quick. A lot quicker than Alabama has started since the Georgia game.
Yeah.
Now, if Alabama goes down there and starts like their hair's on fire like they did against Georgia, you know, all bets would be off. But, you know, the possibility of that happening, I don't know what that would be. I know Alabama needs to heal up in this off week and kind of get their act back together and get ready to play a four quarter game.
Yeah, and I'm glad you mentioned two things. One, the four quarter game, we got to stress that. But two, the whole thing about Georgia. That is why Alabama should know more than anyone that how you start a game means a lot. I mean, if Alabama doesn't start that game with a 21 point first quarter, there's a good chance they don't win it.
So
you got it. You got to come out swinging. We're not asking for a 21-point first quarter, but we are asking for something that at least meets LSU's standard. LSU went to Arkansas. They had 10 points one quarter in. They went to Texas A&M, a now top 10 Texas A&M, the very next week, had 10 points one quarter in. Alabama, you mentioned Georgia. Since that game against Georgia, they have not had over 7 points in the first quarter once.
Yeah, they've been historically slow these last few games.
And I just feel like LSU, if they don't give you room for error on that, that can be a dagger. Because LSU, this is, if you're going to circle any game, it's got to be this one. I'm not trying to knock on Mercer or whoever the heck it is that Alabama plays. Actually, you know what? I am going to knock on them. But when it comes to Oklahoma and Auburn, I'm not going to knock on those guys here when I say that LSU has to be, at least by surface level, the toughest team you've got between now and the end of the regular season, especially with it being on the road.
Yeah, yeah. I would say, even though Alabama does go to Oklahoma, but Oklahoma has bukus of problems right now. So
yeah. But right before the Iron Bowl, that's tough.
Yeah, but, you know, Alabama's not in a position they can even think about that.
No.
They have to be 100%, you know, concentrating on LSU.
Right, and you had mentioned right before, right before we went to break just a few minutes ago, Alabama, this is a make-or-break game for them, of course, but it's also a make-or-break game for LSU after A&M outplayed them like they did. And we'll touch more on A&M later. With both Alabama and the Tigers being on a bye this week, we'll touch on A&M because they've really caught some steam. But right now, getting back to where I was, Bama, they know that this is make or break. The Tigers know that. And that's what needs to be on your mind. Don't let this win go to your head. I had mentioned that several minutes ago, and I stress that like I do because Alabama's got a very big culture problem, mm-hmm. not just with the penalties, but with the ego. We have seen excessive celebrating. We saw Malachi Moore, his tantrum against Vandy. These are guys who, at least at some moments, have appeared to not take it as seriously and get too big of a head on their shoulders, and they act out, they trip up, whatever.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
You think you're not going to trip up against LSU? Absolutely you can. You got to lock in.
Yeah, you do. You got to be really ready to play down there.
Yeah. I mean, Death Valley, I'll say it again if you're just joining us. Death Valley, in case you haven't heard, pretty tough place to play. And we talked earlier this season about guys like Tennessee when they host Alabama. You know, oh, okay, well, these guys hate you. You know, it's not just, we kid around from time to time. No, Tennessee, if they could beat you by 90 every year, they would. LSU is in similar company. And with especially with them having this slice of humble pie that they just got served by A&M, they're sitting here saying, all right, well, Alabama's probably one of our toughest opponents between now and the end of the regular season. We got to make an example out of them just as much as they want to make one out of us. You're listening to the Roll Tide Radio Show on ESPN Pensacola every Friday from 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. on 1330 a.m., 99.1 FM, and brought to you by our ESPN Pensacola mobile app. And also, this show's sponsor, Ace Hardware on Highway 29 in Cantonment. Be sure to go check them out. Austin Price and Woody Waters here in the studio with you. Woody, I said just a few minutes ago, Texas A&M, you know, I know this is an Alabama show, so we won't dwell on the Aggies for too long, but my goodness, when you look at this win over LSU, do you think that is more of LSU just being limited, or do you think it's A&M actually being a contender for once in the Southeastern?
Well, I think it's a combination of both. I told you last week, I wasn't sold on LSU when they were going into the A&M game. But most everybody had LSU pick, but LSU's defense in the secondary is not as strong as it has been.
Yeah.
You know, when A&M made that change at halftime to quarterback, they went to that running quarterback, zone read quarterback, and LSU had no answers.
Right.
They made no adjustments in the entire second half for him. And every time he ran the football, he was getting 10, 12 yards at a time. So they just basically ran it down LSU's throat.
And you mentioned Milroe's reliance on the zone read and how that could be a difference maker as well.
If Milroe is healthy, and I think Milroe, frankly, has been bummed up. I mean, most everybody has got nagging injuries and stuff this time of the year.
Yeah.
But, I mean, you learn to play through them. So with this week off, maybe Milroe can get right and have one of the better games as far as his legs go. And if LSU can't figure out a way to stop the zone read, maybe a big night for Milroe.
Maybe it will. And that is, that's true. I'll go on a quick tangent here. That is just to tie it back into the Tide. This is not just a make-or-break game for Bama and LSU as teams and as contenders. This is a make-or-break thing for Milroe.
Mm-hmm.
I mentioned earlier, it sounds like I have been chasing the guy with a spear this season. But that's not true. I've been holding him accountable for his mistakes, of which he's made a lot. So this could be one where he's like, yeah, I got to ball out. I got to be a leader. I got to prove that you can trust me with this football, whether it be taking it to the air or keeping it for myself and running down the field. LSU's defense, their weak spots may exactly be what Jalen Milroe needs here. But to bring this to get back to A&M now, I think – I can't believe I'm saying this because, you know, with how they've done in recent memory, with how much they've consistently underperformed, I never thought I'd see the day, but – A&M, I think they're looking like arguably a top three team in the Southeastern Conference right now.
They are. I mean, they're the only undefeated team in the conference.
Yeah, 5-0, right?
Right, 5-0 or 6-0, somewhere in there. They're undefeated. So, you know, but this week they go to South Carolina to William Bryce Stadium, and it's a night game.
Yeah.
That place can be crazy.
That is one of multiple – gonna go ahead and give you some foreshadowing now. That is one of – That is one of multiple upset alerts in not just the SEC, but in college football this weekend. Because as you'll find out as we progress through the show today, we always touch on, of course, games that are happening around the Southeastern Conference and around college football as a whole. And it's a pretty slow week, yeah. Top 25-wise. There's a couple of good games that should be instant classics, in my opinion. But that just means there is all the more room for upset alerts. When ranked teams are playing unranked, when you've got games like A&M with them riding high right now, going to South Carolina, who still has a positive record, and Williams-Brice is brutal. When you've got all that, yeah, there's a lot of red flags at the very least. But I got to give the props to A&M. That's really just the bow I want to tie on this bit here, on this sketch that you and I are doing. Texas A&M, sure, you know, you can sit here and say, okay, the best team they have beaten is LSU. LSU's good. They're not great. We can say that all day long. But you are convincingly outplaying these teams. You beat Missouri 41-10. You beat LSU 38-23. Your one loss is to Notre Dame, and I'm not going to try to give you a pass on that. However, I am going to address much-needed context, and that is you lost your season opener, which was Mike Elko's first game coaching the Aggies, and Notre Dame is in the top eight right now.
Yeah.
Northern Illinois beat them, but, you know, we're not opening that door. The thing is, Notre Dame, nonetheless, they're trying to prove, hey, we're still a great team, and that A&M win is helping them tremendously. So the Aggies are sitting here saying, yeah, we flubbed up, you know, had a slow start, but we have locked in. We are rolling through this conference right now. And when we're talking about the SEC, that accounts for a lot. Just about 10:30 here. We'll take another quick break. You're listening to Roll Tide Radio every Friday from 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. right here on ESPN Pensacola. And, of course, brought to you by brought to you by Ace Hardware on Highway 29 in Cantonment.
It's time for some football, and Ace Hardware in Cantonment is geared up with everything you'll need to make your cookout and tailgating party a win.
Green 18!
Big Green Egg, Napoleon, and Traeger grills, tents, propane fills, Yeti coolers and tumblers, folding chairs, folding tables, and outdoor umbrellas, plus hardware items to get your patio, pool, or outside deck in winning shape. Think football, think Ace Hardware in Cantonment, and score big time. Ace Hardware, 1560 South Highway 29.
Hi, I'm Rachel with Cochin 4 Steakhouse. For 45 years, we've been an owned and operated three-generation family business. We welcome every guest that walks through our doors as an old friend. We're open from 5 to 9 on Wednesday and Thursday, and from 4:30 to 10 on Fridays and Saturdays. Saddle up to our bar and get a half-pound burger with fries and a beer for just $11.95 every day before 6:30. This offer is only available in the bar and cannot be combined with any other coupons, discounts, or specials. Cochin 4 Steakhouse, on Pine Forest Road across the street from the Speedway.
All right, gentlemen, this is Emmitt Smith on behalf of Depend, and I've got the perfect play. Run straight to your doctor's office for a life-changing catch. Because when prostate cancer is caught early, it's up to 99% treatable, and one blood test might be all it takes. And now through November, Depend is donating to the Prostate Cancer Foundation for select purchases. Talk about a great play.
From September 1st to November 30th, Depend is donating 40 cents to the Prostate Cancer Foundation for Depend Shield Guard's Real Fit products purchased in the U.S. up to a maximum of $300,000 void in Mississippi.
This college football moment is brought to you by ServPro.
In 2021, LSU finished with a disappointing 6-7 record. Luckily for them, a new head coach in Chip Kelly and a quarterback from Arizona State, Jaden Daniels, arrived in Baton Rouge. They lead LSU to the 2022 SEC Championship game and defeated Purdue in the Citrus Bowl to finish 10-4. Kelly and Daniels made that 2021 season like it never even happened.
ServPro, like it never even happened.
Man, I loved playing high school sports growing up. And it's fun being a fan now, don't get me wrong, but sitting in the stands feels like I'm missing out on all the action, you know? I wanted to get back in the game, so I signed up to be a high school official. It takes me back to my playing days. I'm supporting students, and I get paid to make the big calls. Do you want to see the game up close? Sign up to become an official in Florida at highschoolofficials.com.
Our mission at the UWF Historic Trust is to collect, preserve, interpret, and share the rich history of Northwest Florida. With more than 30 properties spread out over 9 acres, we bring the history of our region to life. Whether you're enjoying events at the Museum of Commerce, afternoons at the Children's Museum, reenactments at the historic village on Zaragoza Street, or day trips to Arcadia Mill, The UWF Historic Trust is the cultural destination host of Northwest Florida. Learn more at historicpensacola.org.
Mike Greenberg, weekdays 9 to 11, right before the Rich Eisen Show on ESPN Pensacola, 1330 AM, 99.1 FM.
You're listening to the Roll Tide Radio Show every Friday from 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. right here on ESPN Pensacola. You can listen to us on 1330 AM, 99.1 FM, or on your ESPN Pensacola mobile app. And, of course, the show is brought to you by Ace Hardware on Highway 29 in Cantonment. Austin Price and Woody Waters here in the studio with you as always. And, Woody, I was talking to you during this break that we just had, and I was reminded by it, by being on ESPN, having the games pulled up. Paul Finebaum was allegedly spouting some nonsense along the lines of, he's ready to bring Bama back from the dead. I'll get your, I have thoughts on it, as I do. I have a lot of thoughts on Paul, some of which I won't share. But I'll ask you first, what are your thoughts on Paul saying that? Trying to get that hype train back in Tuscaloosa, get it back on the rails.
Well, Paul has a history of saying things that, for a reason, he's trying to stir the pot,
right,
on somebody most of the time. So, I find that strange, because all of his other commentary of late is he's been harping on DeBoer not having or being a reason for the discipline problems and so forth. So, I find that surprising, I guess I would say. Because I hadn't heard the comment.
Well, so. And look, I'll be the first to tell you, Paul Finebaum, just for the sake of not losing my job, I will describe his thoughts as merely cockamamie. But when it comes to saying something like this, it's not necessarily that I disagree with him. I just think it's neither the time nor the place to say it.
Right.
We've said it time and time again. If Alabama wins out, they will be in the playoff. I firmly believe that. The voters are telling us, at least in the AP, that they agree with that. Committee may think differently, but chances are they won't. But with Alabama still being in the top 15, they are. They're saying, listen, man, if you win, chances are you're going to be in.
Yeah.
So I don't think Finebaum's necessarily wrong. I think playing this game as well as you did does say, hey, man, we are going into the bye week feeling great. We're going to try to, you know, make an example, keep on rolling, whatever. That's awesome. But we've been talking about the ego. We've been talking about overlooking teams. That's what gets you a loss to Vandy. That's what gets you struggle wins. That's what gets you so on and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
You can't overlook LSU. You can't think, oh, all of a sudden everything's okay. So just to kind of reiterate, thanks to Paul opening his trap here, I can kind of reiterate that, man, don't listen to the hype.
Don't
let it go to your head. Don't overlook this LSU team, because that's the easiest way to lose to them.
Yeah, don't listen to the rat poison.
Yeah, because sometimes poison tastes good, and this may, but still doesn't make it any less poison.
Right.
All right.
Interesting.
Yeah. Well, and as I said, I don't think he's wrong. It's still there. The magic is still there, but let's not act like, oh, baby, we're back. No, shut up. Come on, Paul. You're better than that. All right. Anywho, wanted to talk about this. We were speaking about LSU and A&M. LSU on a bye week, of course, before this Bama game, because they know how important it is, especially with their current circumstances. And I think A&M is one of the top teams in the SEC. I think they've proven that with how superior they have looked against some of their toughest opposition. But I'm looking at this SEC slate, and there are a couple teams that are on major upset alerts. Texas A&M is one of them. We'll get to them in a minute. But starting here at 11 a.m. tomorrow morning, we got number 19 Ole Miss at Arkansas. Arkansas has a winning record, and Ole Miss has a nasty history of struggling in Fayetteville. Do you think Arkansas gets this done, or do you think Ole Miss hangs on?
I can see this being an upset. I can see Arkansas very easily winning this ball game.
Well, the spread's only Ole Miss by 7.5, so no matter what, they got to be in a close one.
Yeah. Yeah. For sure, I don't think Ole Miss will cover. I would see it being a close football game.
Yeah, I got Ole Miss winning, but to your point, I do not have them covering. This is going to be decided by 3 or 4 points, if I had to assume. Maybe a 34-30, I'm not sure. Mm-hmm. But the over-under is 53.5, so they've got it being, I don't know, math isn't good in my head, but they've got it being a close game and a decently scoring one. I'll take it being higher scoring, but Arkansas keeps it close, yet the Rebels survive. All right, here's another one, and it doesn't look like much at face value. But when you know the history between these two teams and you know the history between the blue and orange and the QB that they're facing, this is a pretty good one. Vandy travels to Jordan-Hare to take on Auburn. Diego Pavia was the fella who led the charge in beating Auburn 31-10 when he was with New Mexico State last year. So he's coming out. They're disheartened after that loss to Texas. They're looking to go on the road, get back on track. Auburn is thinking they are back on track. They just got a road win over Kentucky. They're at home for this one. They're out for blood. They want revenge. Who do you think wins it?
I'm thinking because of last year.
Yeah.
And Auburn has shown a symptom of playing better.
A symptom, as if it's a condition, yeah. Meaning, well, we diagnose him with being decent.
Meaning they have eliminated a lot of their penalties and crazy mistakes that have cost them a lot of ball games.
Yeah.
I'm going to give the edge to Auburn.
Yeah, I've got Auburn winning this game very close. The over-under has it being 48.5. I do not agree with that for a moment. Auburn's favored in this game by 8. I find it surprising that the spread has Auburn, especially by knocking on the door of 2 scores. But no, I give them the same credit you just did. They have gotten a lot of their carelessness accounted for. They're not turning the ball over nearly as much as they used to. And to have that, man, the physical defense shutting down Kentucky, double-digit road win, they're rolling right now. I don't think it should go to their heads because Kentucky's clearly not that great of a team. But being at home, that should make for a very high chance of an Auburn victory.
What time is that game?
That is 11:45 a.m., sir. Yeah, so it's going to be hot probably in Auburn, Alabama. But they're favored by 8 points. That should be one heck of a game. And here's one that shouldn't. Maine travels to Oklahoma. If this is a good game, I think I said it on War Eagle Weekly yesterday morning. If this is a good game, or if Oklahoma loses, I will travel to Norman myself. And with a box cutter in hand, and I will slice the badge off of every jersey. You don't deserve to be in the SEC if you're losing at home to Maine.
Oklahoma's what, 30-plus point favorite?
It doesn't even have the spread on here because it's supposed to be that much of a maraudering.
I think they're over 30, if I remember.
They better be. It's because this is what you have to consider. Oklahoma's 4-4 in the SEC. Maine's 4-4 at FCS competition.
Yeah.
And you're going to Norman. So I don't to be completely frank with you, Woody, I don't know why we're still talking about the game. Oklahoma will win, or at least they better. Florida, Jacksonville, neutral site, taking on the second-ranked Georgia Bulldogs. Florida's defied some serious odds, and both teams are coming off of bye weeks, and Georgia has limped to the finish line in multiple games. Yet Georgia is favored by only 14.5 now, but still a double-digit edge. Do you think Florida gives them a scare or perhaps gets the upset in Jax?
I think Georgia wins the game. Florida could play better because they're playing better or have played better. I don't know. I think, you know, the last I saw it was 16, but it's down.
I thought it was around 16.5
now.
Yeah, so some of these folks out here giving Florida a better chance.
Yeah, money's flowing to Florida right now.
I'm taking Georgia 37-20. I got them winning by 3 scores. Maybe a slow start. Maybe it's kind of sloppy, kind of close 3 quarters in. Georgia pulls away one of those games.
Yeah, probably. Yeah, I think Georgia wins.
All right, and then we've got Mississippi State hosting UMass. What are these games doing at this point in the season? I don't even know. But I will say, and yes, I am going to humor this, if Massachusetts is ever going to beat an SEC team, it's going to be this weekend. Mississippi State is 1-7, yet the Bulldogs are still favored by 18, and I think that's fair. Do you think the Bulldogs struggle here?
That's at Mississippi State, right?
Yes.
No. Mississippi State, if they're one thing, they're physical.
Yes, very much so.
That's a practice game.
I think I said yesterday, if being a good one-win team is possible, Mississippi State is it. They've looked horrendous in some games. But in others, it's like, okay, you're playing what's supposed to be the pride of the SEC, and you're giving them quite a scare. So, all jokes aside, yeah, Mississippi State has this against UMass, and they're only favored by 18. I think Mississippi State covers that.
Yeah.
Hinted at this upset alert earlier, Texas A&M, they're number 10 in the country, and they take on South Carolina. I'm just going to paint the stage here, or set the stage, whatever the heck the saying is. This has every making of an upset. Texas A&M is reaching territory that no one really expected of them at this point heading into the season. They are 7-1, 5-0 in conference play. They have won 7 straight. They just beat a top 10 rival by double digits. They are on you've heard of being on cloud 9, they're on cloud 10. Well, South Carolina is 4-3. They're a winning team. They've given folks like LSU and Alabama scares. They are at home, brutal place to play, 6:30 p.m., night game at Williams-Brice. Texas A&M only favored by 3. So everyone and their mother knows this is going to be a tough one. Does South Carolina get the upset, yes or no?
I'm saying yes, because
wow,
all the ingredients are there. I mean, huge game for for A&M last week and how they came back and won against LSU. And now traveling to the – Carolina's laying in wait, and
yeah,
the atmosphere there is going to be unreal. And Carolina has one of the better defensive fronts in the conference.
Right. And we do. We see them, give teams a scare. They may start slow, but they'll bring the game back, or maybe they'll start early. They started early against LSU, and they woke up late against Alabama, and both ended up being phenomenal games. We were talking about the effects of having too big of a head, too big of an ego. If Texas A&M does not lock in, they will struggle here. I think they win, but that 3-point spread I think is quite deserved. They win only by 1 score.
They could, but I'm picking an upset.
Well, and I would not be surprised. I'd laugh, but I would not be surprised. Then we've got Kentucky at Tennessee. Man, Tennessee's great. We've given them a lot of praise, and they deserve every ounce of it. The problem is Kentucky, on the other side of that coin, just, I hate to say it, they're not that good of a team. You see them, they'll give teams a scare. They did so with Georgia. They beat Ole Miss on the road. And Mark Stoops is a great coach. He typically has them ready for every game. But they're 3-5 right now. I think you could argue that Mark Stoops, we won't go down this rabbit hole, but I think you could argue he's fighting for his job right now. To be 3-5 going on the road, do you think Tennessee just piles it on Kentucky? Or do you think Kentucky maybe tries to make another oomph?
Well, Tennessee-Kentucky is certainly a rivalry.
You just don't typically think about it in football.
No, but they are. And my question is, has Stoops lost his football team? Then on the other hand, is Stoops thinking about getting out of town after
really?
The season?
I think moving on to greener pastures.
Well, the history of last year, and he had accepted the job at A&M before that got squashed by some high rollers at A&M, and all of a sudden he didn't have that job. So I'm just putting 1-1 or 2-2 together.
Yeah. No, that could be the problem. This could be kind of like what we saw with Jimbo Fisher at Florida State. The team kind of sees a decline and it started to kind of break up from the inside and it just wasn't meant to last. This could be one of those situations with Kentucky that we're in the middle of seeing right now. But regardless, I think, as I said, one thing remains clear. They're just not that good of a team. They go into Tennessee. Tennessee's favored by 17.5. I think Tennessee covers.
Oh, yeah.
I think they win by 20-plus.
I think they do, too.
All righty, 10:47 here. We'll take one last quick break. When we return, as I mentioned before, we've got an AP Top 25 that is looking pretty slow when it comes to Week 10 action, but there are a couple games that should be instant classics, including a Big Ten rivalry that has very, very, very heavy implications in both the conference and nationally. But also, heck, man, as I said, when you're a ranked team and you're playing unranked opponents, that just leaves all the more opportunities for upset alerts. So we got details on that and more coming up right here on the Roll Tide Radio Show every Friday from 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. right here on ESPN Pensacola and brought to you by Ace Hardware on Highway 29 in Cantonment.
It's time for some football, and Ace Hardware in Cantonment is geared up with everything you'll need to make your cookout and tailgating party a win. Napoleon and Traeger grills, tents, propane fills, Yeti coolers and tumblers, folding chairs, folding tables, and outdoor umbrellas, plus hardware items to get your patio, pool, or outside deck in winning shape. Think football, think Ace Hardware and Cantonment, and score big time. Ace Hardware, 1560 South Highway 29.
Do you owe $10,000 or more in credit card debt or personal loans? With credit card debt at all-time highs, Debt Relief Advocates is urgently notifying consumers of debt relief now being made available, designed to aid consumers with out-of-control credit card debt. Those who qualify and enroll for this relief program will only have to pay back a fraction of what they owe. This is not bankruptcy or a debt consolidation loan. This is a relief program that credit card companies would rather you not know about, as it ends your debt nightmare and saves you lots of money. Consumers owing at least $10,000 personal loans can now take advantage of this debt relief as the cost of living skyrockets. Debt Relief Advocates has established a relief hotline for you to call to learn what debt reduction you may qualify for, so don't wait. For this free information, call the Relief Hotline at 800-606-8737. 800-606-8737. 800-606-8737.
School sports are played by humans, coached by humans, and officiated by humans. Next time you're sitting in the stands at a school athletic event, please remember this and maintain your humanity, especially when it comes to judging and critiquing athletes, coaches, and officials. Please show your fellow human some respect. They'll appreciate your empathy.
This message presented by the FHSAA and the Florida Interscholastic Athletic Administrators Association.
Are you looking for a place to feed your passion for singing and connect with other young people who love to perform? Then come join us at the Pensacola Children's Chorus. For as little as $15 a month, any child in grades 1 through 12 can come and discover the magic of music. No prior experience is necessary. Whether the stage is your second home or you're a total beginner, there's a place for you in the choir. For details on how to join, visit us online at PensacolaSings.org.
Hey, if you own or manage a business in the greater Pensacola area, how would you like to get your business in front of men ages 25 to 54? Well, that's who listens to ESPN Pensacola.
Hey!
Okay, men ages 25 to 54 and Sarah.
Excuse me?
And Jill. Whether it be a radio ad with ESPN Pensacola or online through ADX Digital, we can come up with the best solutions for you. Get in front of men ages 25 to 54 and Sarah and Jill.
Woohoo! Yeah!
Just go to our website, ESPNPensacola.com, click on the sales opportunity.
Are you ready for the ultimate sports listening experience?
Get in the game
with ESPN Pensacola, the premier sports talk radio station on 1330 AM and 99.1 FM. We're your ticket to the world of sports, delivering nonstop coverage of your favorite teams, athletes, and leagues. From the biggest headlines to the underdog stories, we bring you the thrill of the victory and the agony of defeat. So don't miss out on the action. Tune in to ESPN Pensacola and be part of the sports conversation that's taking Pensacola by storm.
Paul Feinbaum, on weekday afternoons after the Rich Eisen Show, 2 to 6 on ESPN Pensacola, 1330 AM, 99.1 FM.
Listening to the Roll Tide Radio Show every Friday from 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. right here on ESPN Pensacola and brought to you by Ace Hardware on Highway 29 in Cantonment. Austin Price and Woody Waters here in the studio with you as per usual. All right, and speaking of as per usual, Woody, whenever we get towards the end of the show, we always look at some of the games that are more nationally relevant, you know. It's not all SEC around here. But, man, it is slim pickings in the top 25 this weekend. But the couple of games that we do have that are ranked on ranked are actually very good. Starting with at 11 a.m., bright and early, number 4 Ohio State at number 3 Penn State. Ohio State favored by 3 on the road. Do you think Penn State finally breaks their drought against the Buckeyes here?
It's possible, but I don't think so. I think Ohio State finds a way to win.
I think it's going to be one heck of a game, but I'm the same way. I was talking about Paul Feinbaum earlier, one of the headlines we've got over here. Mm-hmm. Paul Feinbaum criticizing James Franklin for always losing big games. I think James Franklin is in a similar boat as Brian Kelly. He's worse than Brian Kelly, but I think he's in a similar boat in the sense of, I'm a good coach, but I'm not going to win jack. You know, like our team will be good, but we're not going to be consistent in the big games, and we're not going to win national titles. That was Brian Kelly's story at Notre Dame. That's it at LSU, and LSU fans want to act surprised when their team doesn't make a push. That's a similar situation with James Franklin and Penn State here. I think we are reminded of that. Ohio State wins maybe like 28-24-ish, so around the spread.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it'll be good, but Penn State will lose. The other game that's ranked on ranked that I think is going to be an instant classic, number 18 Pittsburgh travels to number 20 SMU. Pittsburgh's unbeaten. SMU only has one loss. They're both unbeaten in ACC play. SMU at home favored by 7.
SMU could win. Matter of fact, I think they may win. I would pick them.
I've got SMU winning mainly because they're at home. I was telling Jordan during the Glass Half Full, which, by the way, you can catch from 9 to 10 a.m. every morning right here on ESPN Pensacola. Every weekday morning, that is. He's not coming in on the weekends. What do you want from him? No, but going back to what I was saying in all seriousness, looking at the Pittsburgh-SMU game here, I told him just last hour, I said, this is a game that I'm picking the winner solely because of who's at home. If this game were at Pitt, I'd be taking the Panthers. With it being in Dallas, I'm taking the Mustangs. High-scoring game, I'm thinking like 35-32. Total nail biter. SMU favored by 7. I think Pittsburgh covers, but they do lose.
I agree.
Then we've got, as I said, with all of these ranked teams, and some of them look questionable with them playing certain opponents, especially if it's on the road. There are some upset alerts here. We'll start with Miami. Miami's at home, but it feels like every game, unless you're playing one win Florida State, is an upset alert for them. They host Duke. Duke is 6-2, and they looked better than I thought they would against SMU. Does Duke have a chance to keep this within the 21-point spread, if not beat Miami outright?
I think they can keep it within the spread. I don't know that they win, even though, you know, Duke's head coach was Miami's defensive coordinator.
Yeah, Manny Diaz, he was Miami's head coach, I want to say.
Was the head coach, you're right.
Yeah. And so for Duke to go on the road to Miami, that's kind of tough. I think Miami's feeling pretty protected right now. Duke may be feeling kind of defeated. But also, I think we're once again going to be reminded of, you know what, Miami's not that great of a team. I've got them winning this game by probably around 10 points. They'll beat Duke, especially at home, but it is not going to be a 21-point game.
No, I don't see that in you know – it's going to be how well their quarterback plays.
Yeah.
I mean, if he plays lights out, then, yeah, Miami could win going away. But it's how well that quarterback does, because that's been their history the whole season.
No, that is true. Also, number one, Oregon, going to the Big House to take on Michigan. Michigan only 5-3, disappointing year, even by what we expected from them. Oregon, they've got a couple of quality wins, kind of were rocky to start the year. Now it seems like they have found a rhythm. But going on the road, do you think – and they're riding on a big top 20 win. They just beat Illinois, who at the time was 20th, beat the snot out of them. Do you think they're overlooking the Wolverines in Ann Arbor?
I don't think they're overlooking them, but Michigan, the Big House is a tough place to play.
Oh, absolutely. It's called the Big House.
But Michigan – he's got all kind of problems at quarterback.
Yeah.
They don't know what their identity is. I'm taking Oregon.
Yeah, I got Oregon as well. Spread has Oregon by 14.5. Could be a struggle win. Could see them trip up here. Maybe win by single digits. But I do think Oregon will win. And I mentioned some of these weaker, high-ranking teams, their resumes aren't really wowing anybody. Number 11, Iowa State at home against 5-3 Texas Tech. Iowa State's coming off a bye. Texas Tech has maybe psyched everyone out because they've had a rough couple games, but they did look good earlier in the year at times. Do you think Iowa State struggles here? They're currently favored by 13.5.
No, I think they take care of business.
Really? You think they make an example out of Texas Tech? Don't you doubt me now.
They've had the bye week to get ready.
And they are at home.
Yeah.
So they should, if they're a contender, like what they're wanting people to believe, they should win by a lot. I'll give you that much. Mm-hmm. But I see that as an upset alert. I don't think Iowa State wins by 14.
Oh, I'm not. Yeah. I'm just saying they win.
Oh, yeah, for sure. And then, man, number 13, Indiana travels to Michigan State. Indiana's another team where when they've been called upon to make, you know, to make an impact, whether it be against Nebraska a couple weeks ago or just last week against Washington when they hosted game day. Indiana balled out, won by double digits. They've convincingly outplayed multiple opponents under schedule. Michigan State, a mixed bag, 4-4, but East Lansing, kind of a tough place to play. Do they catch Indiana with their head in the clouds?
I don't think so. What's the line, 8? I think it's 8, isn't it?
Yeah, IU's only favored by 8.
Yeah, I'm Indiana.
Yeah, that's another one that just kind of – it scares me. And then this is just another very quick one that I think could be an upset alert. Number 17, Kansas State at Houston. Houston's 3-5 on the year, but they're at home. K-State's getting a lot of hype now as like, we're still in this conversation. Could that go to their head and the Cougars maybe stun them? Or do you think K-State just keeps rolling?
K-State could keep rolling, but they're playing Houston there.
Yeah.
That could be a close game.
All righty.
But I say K-State.
Oh, yeah, K-State's favored by 13. I'll take them to win. I think they could honestly maybe try to I've been using this terminology a lot, make an example out of their opponent. Mm-hmm. You got to roll through Houston. If you want to be taken seriously, especially after the blowout loss to BYU earlier this year, you got to make an example of these games and bulldoze your opposition. And then lastly here, since we don't have a score update and our outro music's about to kick in, Florida State and North Carolina, we'll touch on them because they're local. Florida State, one win, obviously. North Carolina has never, North Carolina with Mack Brown, never beaten Florida State. Mack Brown is winless against the Noles as a head coach. Do you think that drought ends this weekend?
I think he beats his alma mater, yes.
Yeah, I think this becomes a tale of two different offenses, and Florida State just gets out of their element once again and unfortunately falls to 1-8. You've been listening to the Roll Tide Radio Show every Friday from 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. right here on ESPN Pensacola and brought to you by Ace Hardware on Highway 29 in Cantonment. We'll see you next week.
You're listening to ESPN Pensacola, 1330 AM, 99.1 FM. All sports, all the time. WEBY, Milton, Pensacola.